Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. We're recording live at the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians annual meeting in Portland. One of the things that you've heard me say now several times, it's great being here because it gives us a chance to meet some of the leading clinicians, thought leaders, experts, influencers, and innovators that are available and working in the healthcare industry, and in particular naturopathic. And so with me today is one of those influencers, innovators, and thought leaders. This is Dr. Richard Bowles, who's the Chief Science and Medical Officer for NeuroNeeds, based in
Connecticut.
In Connecticut.
Old Lyme.
Although, Old Lyme's a fantastic place. So, but also you're based primarily in Pasadena. California.
I have my private practice in Pasadena. I live nearby.
Right. I was really looking forward to having a chance to talk to you. You're very exciting. You're a specialist in training, really, mitochondrial energetics and genetics and metabolic influences and disorders and the impact that metabolic systems have on health states and outcomes.
Yes, I was trained as a pediatrician, and then I had training at Yale in genetics and in metabolic disease. And that was back in the 1990s. And then since then, I've specialized in mitochondrial medicine, which is quite a new field, which is part of genetics.
Right. So, you know, that's one of the more interesting new trends in healthcare, and particularly in the naturopathic and in the integrative and functional medicine worlds, is this mitochondrial energetics. And so to meet you as an expert in mitochondrial medicine is like fantastic. Because everybody is so concerned about cell health, cell energetics. There are a couple of new nutrients that have been introduced over the last 5 or 10 years. You know, in Boston, for example, NAD, NADH, and those kind of
things. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah, hundreds of them. And it's not just that one. And so maybe you could help explain to our listeners the real background of mitochondrial energetics and why it's at the level that you're looking at it as a medical care target.
Well, life is energy. Energy is required for all cells to do everything. 95% or so of the energy that the cells made are made in the mitochondria.
Right.
So it's by far the lion's share of where the energy is made. And without the mitochondria adequately making energy, the cells can't function properly.
Right.
And you can say, well, what kind of disease will that make if energy is required for everything? Well, it depends on the rest of it. There's 3 billion nucleotides. So if there's something wrong with the mitochondrial bioenergetics, it really, to a large degree, depends on all the rest of the genetics and to a large degree on the environment.
Right.
So in the same family with the same mutation and the same gene in the mitochondria, you can have patients that have chronic fatigue syndrome or chronic pain. Other people with the same mutation in the same family could have multi-system disease, which is fatal. So it really depends a lot on the genetics and the environment. So mitochondrial dysfunction can be a risk factor for a very large amount of diseases. It really puts a problem on the entire system.
So tell me a little bit about kind of like the cart or the horse. What's coming first? Is it mitochondrial dysfunction that leads to problems, or is there something else? We've noticed in some of our own work that underlying inflammation really causes a shift in the energetics, and that just creates huge havoc in the metabolic systems and the response, because the mitochondria have changed because of inflammation. But what happened there first? What's the order of what really happened?
Everyone's looking for a simple answer to find why the patient has the disease and what the thing is. But the reality is that it's incredibly complicated.
Yeah,
the disease is the interrelationship with thousands of different genetic markers and environmental components for each individual. And the direction goes in both directions and around in a circle. And it's very complicated. So you can have environmental components which can cause mitochondrial dysfunction. You have genetic components which cause environmental components. And they're interacting with each other and with everything else.
Right.
So mitochondrial dysfunction just means the mitochondria are not working well.
Right.
In some cases, such as a newborn with multi-system disease, is almost entirely genetic. In someone, let's say, with a heart attack or a stroke, they can't get enough oxygen to the tissue. Oxygen is required for mitochondrial function, so in that case, it's entirely acquired and non-genetic.
Right.
But most cases are a mixture of the two.
Yeah, wow. And so tell us a little bit more about some of the other work that's parallel to this, is really your insights on genetic testing and being able to look at that data and know how to use it clinically.
Well, I got into this area because the mitochondria seem to be so fundamental to the type of problems that people deal with, particularly the problems that are common that nobody seems to really be working on. Things like chronic fatigue, pain, GI problems, dysautonomia, depression, anxiety, and then the neurocognitive disorders as well, such as epilepsy, ADHD, and autism. Yeah. These are all incredibly common problems in the population, and they're just descriptions. No one seemed to really understand what's going on.
Right.
But in most of my patients, they had a degree of mitochondrial dysfunction.
Yeah.
Some of them do have mitochondrial disease causing this, there's no doubt, but that's a small minority.
Uh-huh.
Most of them, when you test them, they have mitochondrial dysfunction. There's probably a genetic component that's polygenic from multiple genes.
Right.
And there's an environmental components as well.
Right.
So treating the mitochondrial dysfunctions is extremely helpful, and I've been doing this for 25 years, and I found that patients get a lot better. It varies from the amount of how they get better. Some might get a little better, some are dramatically better when you treat the mitochondria.
Right, right. So what diagnostic tools do you use to make that assessment, and then what do you do then? Can you walk us through?
Well, I used to use biochemical techniques where you take body fluids like blood and urine and put them through a mass spectrometer and look exactly at what compounds are in there to look for signs of energy metabolism not working right. Like if the sugars and the fats are what we burn for energy.
Right.
If the sugars are half burned or the fats are half burned, you find molecular chain, you find those molecules half burned fuels.
Wow.
In the body fluids. And then we used to do a biopsy, usually a muscle biopsy, but that changed a lot to a skin, and sometimes just using the cells in the cheek, the inside of the cheek with a swab to see how they're functioning.
Mm.
But in the last 5 years or so, that's really moved entirely to DNA testing, which we call molecular analysis, because we can now sequence all 3 billion nucleotides, the entire human genome, all of the DNA, in other words, in an individual fairly cheaply and easily. And to try to figure out what the problem is. So that not only looks at all of the different causes of mitochondrial disease, but it looks at every other system as well. Look at it more like a holistic approach. Don't make an assumption of what the problem is. Read everything.
Right, right. Where can people go to learn more about the diagnostic tools or tests? Is it part of what services that you offer?
I have various components in myself, certainly have a private practice. One of the things I do a lot is I work at DNA interpretation, that you can have your own doctor, and then I can help them to order the right tests, use negotiated rates for DNA testing, because I negotiate with labs all over, the best labs around the world, to get lower testing costs.
Right, so.
And then interpret the tests, and then actually talk to the doctor on the phone about what my interpretations are and how I think that therapy should be changed.
Right. So, I mean, it's not as easy as somebody going to 23andMe, getting their printout, and then going to you or to their practitioner using bioinformatics.
No. 23andMe is a toy. Toys are fun. But toys look at hundreds to thousands of nucleotides. We're looking at billions.
Billions, right. And actually, to the degree of sophistication of that test, we'll give you better insights and better information to treat your patients with.
Yeah, I mean, common genetic variants can be important disease, and that's what you're looking at with SNPs, like with 23andMe.
Right, right.
But also extremely rare variants in the genes are also can be very important.
Right.
And so if you sequence everything, you get the whole thing. You
right.
get the whole picture, and you can integrate that together.
Right. So when you do the full genetic testing that you're describing now, is it then possible to also look closer at these mitochondrial-based conditions and dysfunctionality?
Yeah, the average person has about 35,000 variants in them.
Yeah.
And the software that I've helped develop is everyone has their own software on this. I can bring it down to about 1,000 variants that I look at with my own eye per patient.
Wow.
And so I look at these 1,000, because it's 30,000 variants, which is too difficult to look at. So I look at about 1,000 variants, because the other 29,000 could be easily filtered out as being extremely unlikely to be an issue.
Yeah.
And I look at those 1,000 variants and I connect it to the patient.
Yeah.
I think the difference that I do is when I was the director of different DNA testing companies, you get a little bit of information on the patient that's written down, but you don't really know that patient at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're taking all those variants and trying to connect it to someone you don't know.
Right, right.
With the patients that I have, I get to know them very well. I spend 3 hours in the room with them, talking to them, going for their medical record. Probably about 6 hours of work before I look at their DNA.
Yeah.
So I feel that I know them really well.
Yeah.
And when I do that with doctors across the country, I talk to the doctor beforehand. I've already looked at the medical chart. I say, you know, what is the issue? What are the problems here? I try to get a really good feel of that patient before I then take a look at the DNA testing.
Yeah.
So it's really knowing the individual, knowing the genetics, and making the connection between the two
of them. Yeah, that's fantastic. And, that's a great model that fits squarely into the approach of naturopathic and integrative and functional medicine these days. So what's your view on epigenetic influences and even methylation, kind of two other topics that people spend a lot of time talking about?
It's probably the next revolution. I mean, every single part of the DNA could be methylated or not.
Yeah.
We do look at some methylation sites for some disorders that we understand well, like Angelman syndrome, Prader-Willi, but it's not really that well understood. I mean, now that we got the whole genome, you say, well, what's next? Well, the epigenome is maybe coming 5, 10, 20 years, I don't know, but considering how quickly things have moved, probably not that long.
Yeah, well, fascinating. What's your approach for managing this issues? Do you have a kind of a go-to set of nutrients?
Well, there's two issues to that. First of all, kind of to talk about what we did before, is to all of these diagnoses are descriptions. Chronic fatigue syndrome. I mean, what more description can you have? Autism, depression, pain. They're descriptions that could be many different biological abnormalities in there. There are some common ones in these, yes, and we can find those now. Yeah. But they're descriptions. I read all the DNA and try to understand what the patient has and what bothers them to come up to what the problem is in that patient.
Right.
And then I treat those directly. But after I've been doing this for a while, I said, there's a certain list of go-to.
Yeah.
Everybody needs good nutrition.
Yeah.
Everybody needs exercise. Everyone needs good sleep. And in terms of what you were talking about dietary supplements, everybody needs certain components, in particular regarding overall micronutrition, vitamins and minerals, and also for mitochondrial health. They need certain vitamins and minerals which push the mitochondria to work harder, and particularly antioxidants and other cofactors that help detoxify the mitochondria when it's not working right. It's if you push a car too hard, that say that you make it go very fast on a mountain road pulling a trailer. It's not going to burn the gasoline very well. Half-burned gasoline is going to come out of smoke.
So is it time for practitioners to kind of stop oversimplifying some of these targets? So, like, if we were to grab 10 practitioners walking by us and ask them, what do you think is important for things like mitochondrial energetics, half of them would probably say resveratrol, and, two more will probably say vitamin E, or, who knows, right? But it's not that simple, is it?
Every individual has their own genetic and their own environmental components to their disease, and you need to figure that out. What a lot of the people do here, and they do that very well, is they look to see what sort of environmental influences are in their life, their diet, their lifestyle, the toxins and everything, and to try to individualize that. But very few people here actually take a really deep dive into the genetics beyond 100 or 1,000 nucleotides and really look at the billions of nucleotides. So I would say is that individualization, that's the whole point of personalized medicine. Your patient is an individual, not a member of a group.
Absolutely.
Like another fatigue. And then also in regards to supplementation, I mean, I've been using supplementation for a quarter century, and there's many nutrients that are helpful. But an approach of one nutrient or another nutrient or which one is the best really doesn't solve the problem, because the problem is that you need to augment all of it. If you have an assembly line, energy is an assembly line. If you suddenly take a middle part of an assembly line and make it work a lot faster, you're going to make more product? No, you're going to cause havoc. Every single component of the assembly line needs to be augmented at the same time, and that's what I do. And the products that I have developed under Neuro Needs label, including Spectrum Needs, has 33 different ingredients. 20 of them impact on the mitochondria, and the others are involved in methylation, other metabolic pathways, neuroprotection, and just a very good micronutritional source.
Yeah, fantastic. A couple of key points that you just shared with us that's really, really in line with part of this conference is really number one is know your patient.
Yes, of course.
Power that power the N of one.
Naturopaths do a great job of that. They spend time and they listen.
And then the next phase is a proper and robust assessment, whether that's talking to your patient or, better yet, using specific diagnostics to make them as precise as possible, and then implementation with a holistic approach that you described for us today, too.
I'd agree on that.
Great. Well, thanks. This has been a Holistic Matters podcast, broadcasting live from AANP's annual meeting in Portland, Oregon. We've had the pleasure of talking with Dr. Richard Bowles from Neuro Needs, the expert in medical mitochondria and genetics, and some really powerful cutting-edge science and medicine that you shared with us today. Thanks very much. Well,
thank
Dr.
you very
Bowles.
Much for the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Great. Thanks very much.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.